baseball. U of A baseball's cheap.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, jeez.
Hello, we are the Brothers Geek, and this is our podcast. My name is Patrick Schmaltz with my two brothers, Christopher Schmaltz. Hello, Christopher.
Hello.
And Andrew Schmaltz. Hello, Andrew.
Good morning.
We're brothers, we're geeks, we talk about geeky things. Episode 131, March. What? I don't even know what.
It's the Ides of March today. It's March 15th.
March 15th, the Ides of March.
We should open this podcast with a COVID-19 public service announcement.
Oh, please, go for it, Christopher.
Just go to the CDC, follow the recommendations in the CDC website, go to cdc.gov.
Yep. I agree.
There's a COVID-19 page, cdc.gov, coronavirus 2019, NCOV. Go to those, follow the...
Educate yourselves.
Seriously, educate yourselves. Listen to the scientists. Follow the recommendations about what to do. Mm. If everyone does all of that, it will help flatten the curve.
Yep.
It will help our healthcare system.
Hashtag flatten the curve.
Deal with the what will be inevitably hundreds of thousands of cases.
Yep.
We have to do these things in order to help our society get through this. We will get through it. Please listen to the scientists.
I'm going to add an addendum on that. Stop hoarding shit. Stop buying 15 bottles of 15 gallon jugs of water. Just stop.
Society's not going to collapse.
Yeah. Water's still going to come out of your faucet. Your lights are going to turn on. There's still going to be gas.
You're not going to run out of toilet paper.
Exactly.
You're not going to be trapped in your house.
Yeah. Just don't go out as much as you used to. That's all. If you can stay at home, stay at home. It'll help. That's all.
I mean,
follow the recommendations if you're sick. Again, go to the CDC website.
It's sort of this weird.
We're doing a public service here, brother.
I'm not giving any advice.
I'm saying listen to the scientists, read about it, be educated, follow the recommendations from the scientists. CDC.gov.
And then go watch Contagion or Outbreak on Netflix.
Yes, and then go watch Contagion.
And see how bad it can really get.
Tina watched Outbreak the other night. I think Outbreak is like ridiculous. I don't know if it holds up. Have either of you watched?
No, Outbreak? I haven't watched it recently.
I've seen Outbreak before though.
I have too.
Yeah,
Contagion is the Contagion.
That's Ebola, where it's like it's a hemorrhagic fever where literally like 90% of the people who get it die. That's the catastrophe in that movie. It's like it kills everybody that gets infected, basically. But I mean, obviously COVID-19 is like 2% of the people who get it.
It's just sort of like 2% is not terrible because that's like what was taken from the leftovers.
Oh no, that's the leftovers, you know? Man.
Yeah. So
that was the amount of people that left in the leftovers.
If 2% of the population dies in the planet, everyone on the planet who's left will feel it. Everyone will know somebody that's passed away, of course.
Yes. Yeah, yes. No. So let's avoid that as much as we can, guys. Yes, let's be sensible. Yeah. All the recommendations.
There's lots of streaming stuff to watch and great games to play. So
100%. And hey, we got that. If you want, you can get caught up on Picard and then listen to our podcast.
Yes.
Picard podcast.
Great advice, Andrew.
So we have been doing a Star Trek Picard one shots, and this is episode. What are we on now? 8.
This is episode 8. Yeah.
Yes.
And what's the title of this episode, Andrew?
That's a good question. Let me look that up really quick. I was just looking at the series guide.
I think it's
There's only two more Broken Pieces, which is
in reference to the. I mean, it's multiple things, but I feel like it's mostly in reference to the. Spoilers, by the way. It's mostly in reference to the captain Rios. Being all the pieces of what happened to him with his captain, and we find out his backstory, why he's all messed up, and what his reaction to seeing Soji for the first time, and we're like wondering so that's the big mystery of the episode, is like what's going on.
If anything, this episode is an exposition dump episode. Lots of mysteries come to the forefront and get solved.
yep.
that they've been teasing all year or all season
yes.
get resolved. Yeah. And we know what did we learn? We learned that the Jad Vash were behind the Mars attack.
Yeah.
They reprogrammed the synths to kill everyone on Mars. And so that led to the Federation outlawing all synth research and all synth technology.
Well, we still don't know.
And we even learned why the Jad Vash.
It starts off with this like crazy thing on the planet where they like touch the Destiny light table.
Yeah.
They see some
crazy
shit.
Planet that's at the center of this seemingly created system of eight stars, right?
And there's eight stars in one star system, which is so absurdly rare that they feel it was constructed by some race.
Yes.
Yeah. And we know, I mean, that's true to a lot of Star Trek lore. I mean, we've encountered, there is multiple references and the original Enterprise A and the Enterprise D encounter planets where technology is thousands of years old. And we know that there are progenitor species in the galaxy that have been spacefaring for millions of years.
Can I pose a theoretical like idea to you guys? Like, so we get glimpses of what the Jad Vash see that causes them to shoot themselves in the head or you know, bang themselves in the head with a rock. They go insane, you know,
or they are so compelled.
Yes.
That it becomes their life's mission to destroy all the synths all synthetic life.
So we have that. So like, how can this show either show us what they saw without us all wanting to go crazy, or B, like, explain it and then we still don't go crazy? Like, it should be so shocking. But like, when you raise the bar to a point where it's like the people who know about it kill themselves, like, does the show ever explain what it is, really? Are we ever going to really know?
Well, I think we know what they see. We know that this species that constructed this system with eight stars and placed this planet at the center of the stars and placed this piece of technology on that planet so that when people encounter this technology, it's a warning to them that synthetic life this species had an experience with synthetic life that nearly destroyed their civilization. Mm. And it's a warning. And the warning, I mean,
but we're not actually going to like,
oh no, we won't actually, I mean, whatever that happened, however that happened. But the point of it is,
it's part of what Patrick's is asking is that we're not going to, it's not based purely on imagery, Patrick.
Yeah.
So right.
We're getting glimpses of it. You know, this is a standard trope of TV shows where to suggest the confusion and trauma, you get rapid cuts of and glimpses of imagery, right?
Right.
But what we will never get, and what, you know, until the technology is invented to beam shit directly into our brain, not through the visual cortex, is the emotional, the psychological,
I see,
the
well, right,
the, there's an added layer of impact on whatever brain chemistry, whatever it is, that goes beyond simply seeing people being torn apart.
They're like,
or civilizations,
they're feeling
being destroyed.
These things, they're feeling people die, they're feeling people right.
Well,
right.
And we know
that's exactly what happened with the doctor.
Exactly. I was gonna make that point. Yeah.
Mander O, who we learn importantly is half Vulcan. That answers the question we had last time, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Half Vulcan, half Romulan.
The
so
show
was able
doesn't
to mind
explain
meld.
It very well. Yeah, the show doesn't.
Well, they don't have to. I mean, we don't need a deep, you know, a deep in-depth biography of every character. Sometimes you're just going to say things to help us make sense of what's going on.
But like, I mean, my question was like, how could like a Romulan rise to the top of the commanding of the Starfleet,
they were able,
you know,
I mean, think of
the Federation. It just
think of what the Romulans are capable of in terms of their treachery, dude.
She's Vulcan. She's playing herself off as Vulcan.
At some point, we know from Nemesis, they got some of Picard's DNA and they grew a clone of him. Uh-huh. So they're duplicitous enough to do all of that. They can insert agents into things.
Well, they're also, I mean, the part of the Nemesis storyline was they were training him to take over for Picard. They were,
oh yeah,
that's why he's like ramped up in age.
Yeah.
Too, is like they were going to kill Picard and replace him, and replacing the you know, the flagship captain, and Picard is like, you know, he's a legend. So it's like, even the Romulans, like there's so many like cool like overlaps of Picard and the Romulans in the show, and they're always like kind of like back and forth, and like I feel like the Romulans love hate Picard, you know, sort of like you're our nemesis, you know.
He is a key figure in the power structure of Starfleet.
Definitely.
And to have an agent in a position to,
yeah,
you know, really replace cool. him would drastically increase their power in the Federation.
It's a cool idea. Too bad it's wasted on a really poopy movie. So,
yeah. Okay. So, and yeah, so this is an exposition dump episode. I mean, we learn
yes
lots about the Jad Vash. We learn mm-hmm. what they know and what their quest is. We learn what happened to Rios and how he's connected his captain from his previous posting.
Mm-hmm.
Can I say,
I feel like I'm on the low end of liking this show as much as you guys. Like I'm enjoying it, but I'm struggling with a few things for sure. This yeah. episode was a lot of fun to me. I really liked the Rios storyline. I thought it was fun. I really like what happened with like Allison Pill's character and Soji. I like what's happening with
If I had a favorite part of this episode, yeah. it was probably that little conversation that Soji and Allison Pill have.
Yes.
Where Allison Pill is kind of like, I would say, getting over her indoctrination a little bit.
Yeah.
And embracing Soji as a person mm-hmm. and helping Soji to kind of embrace herself as you know, understanding herself a little more. I thought that was just a really nice kind of elegant scene that was well acted and well written. And I enjoyed just that conversation between those two.
It's improving. Like, I feel like the past couple episodes, like, I feel like this is my take on like the show as a whole, seeing the majority of it now, is like, they have a couple of like tidbits of good episodes, good ideas. They have this Riker episode. They have they know where the plots are going, which are good ideas. Like, they know when this happens, it's going to be cool. But like, there's been like a little filler here and there and little tidbits that like are kind of meandering and kind of like, and that's where it kind of loses me. Like, it's got great ideas. I loved the storyline with Rios. I love that all the different EMHs are like having different parts of the story, and he like erased it because he had to erase it. That stuff is super cool. Like, the Federation, like,
Raffi doing the investigation by talking cool. to all five at the same time.
That was fun,
so
too.
Fun.
Yeah.
So yeah. Fun.
That, yep, seems, that was good.
That's Star Trek. Star Trek is fun investigating and figuring stuff out. And like, yep. there's a mystery, and it's a mystery, but it's like the human mystery with like crazy technology helping you figure it out. And like,
what did you guys think of Seven of Nine's storyline on the cube?
Thought it was that awesome.
I love those scenes, because that like immediately injects the threat back into the show. Like, that is so fun, and we love that character so much.
Yeah,
but and she's clearly a tormented soul at this point.
Yeah,
and the fact that she, you know, she's tormented by a lot of things, but mainly by being former Borg, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe always Borg.
Yeah.
And so her like using and becoming the queen of that collective on that cube,
yeah,
was a phenomenal moment.
Yeah,
I just scarier loved. And shit. I loved. Yeah,
the seriously. Borg scare the Borg. I mean, the Borg and scare the shit out of me.
I just love the scene where the cube is repairing itself.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, I love seeing. Yeah.
Well, like when we watched Next Generation, we were limited by A, their budget, and B, the technology at the time. And now we're able to see, like, because they always talked about, like, oh, the Borg is regenerating, or the cube is regenerating, or like, but now they can actually like show that stuff, which is kind of cool.
It is very cool.
You can
see like the Borg, the cube putting itself back together and stuff, which is really neat. I love those little details. This episode was good. Like, it was fun for me to watch. They wrap up a lot of storylines. It answers a lot of questions that I had, which and there's even more. Like, they're gonna go to this planet and they're gonna find out what's on there, and we're gonna find out.
It seems like there's gonna be, we're gonna encounter a planet that's full of synthetic life.
Yes, which I'm so interested in, that it just exists, and it's like, I think that's really cool. I like all of this.
Are we gonna see like a million Sojis, like, oh, standing, yeah, like looking up at the La Serena as it comes to land on the planet? Like, is there gonna be a city full of Sojis? Is that what it's gonna be, do we think?
I want Data to be involved in this. I think the end result is like Data is on this planet, or like some form of Data is on this planet, because I don't know.
It's a race right now to see who gets there first. The La Serena crew or the Romulans, who want to just, you know, merc everybody.
Yeah, they want to nuke it for more.
Seven is going to take the cube there too.
I mean,
I hope so.
Maybe. Didn't it kind of look like she unplugged at the end?
Yes.
Yeah. Did all of the Borg get spaced though?
All the Borg that were not,
all the drones, didn't they get spaced?
All the Borg that haven't been like disconnected or unborged have been.
It certainly looked like it was a lot of them, but it's not clear if all of them were
right.
Well, the Romulan smoke show, secret agent girl got attacked by a bunch of XBs.
Narissa? Yeah,
Narissa.
We can just call her Romulan Smoke Show. I'm cool.
Romulan Smoke Show. She is a smoke show, dude. And she is a fun villain, because she is driven and she is capable of anything.
I like her much better than the brother character. I am really disappointed with how his one note like arc went. And like, he wasn't even in this episode at all. Like, where the hell is he? You see him go follow them through like the Borg thing at the
trans warp conduit.
Trans warp conduit. Thank you, Andrew.
Borg thing. Yeah.
The Borg. The Borg miracle technology. Plot device.
Yeah.
Deus Ex. Yeah.
Deus Ex Borg technology. Really cool stuff. What else did you like about this episode?
My favorite. I go back to my favorite scene of the whole episode was that exchange between the Doctor and Soji, and Alison Pill did such a good job of, it's a quiet scene, but she did such a good job of communicating the wonder and awe in, she's looking at synthetic life and she's interacting with synthetic life. And, I just thought that was so well done and so well acted by her, especially in that communicating. That's what Star Trek is. When it's at its best, it's in those moments where a human being is confronting the wonder of existence, something about sort of the universe that is amazing, right? And
she just has kind of like simple questions to ask her, where she's like, do you sleep? Do you experience your life?
And it's such a bedrock sort of conversation about just a reveal about the elements of humanity that we take for granted at all times, and being like looking at something that where you have to ask and get answers to those most basic questions about existence, right? Mm-hmm. And I just love moments like that where it's existential, and it's also a reminder of the amazing sort of miracle that is, not miracle, the amazing sort of reality, that is the existence of sentience and existence. I love moments like that, and that I thought that was just a pure such a pure like Star Trek moment. I love that scene.
Yeah, I'm with you right there. It actually makes me want to watch it again to kind of Yep. I've been on a deep dive a little bit recently with YouTube clips of like favorite Star Trek moments.
Mm.
You know, whenever I have a fair few minutes, or if I'm like, you know, in the bathroom or something, I'll watch like favorite Star Trek moments, just because we awesome. Live in Star Trek so much. And there are moments where it's just like, this is really good television, and really good science fiction, and just a lot of fun.
Yep.
That's
a good idea.
Yeah, no, it is. It's worth it. I mean, and they, you know, all those moments.
And the Rios thing, the Rios reveal was really good too. There's lots of trauma involved there, right?
Yeah.
And sort of his emotional arc in this episode, and the reveals about him, and sort of why.
Me? Yeah. Yeah, we can hear you again.
Okay, good.
Wait, did you drop off?
I could hear you guys, and it's still recorded, but my mic was not working. I was trying to interject, and nothing was happening. You guys were just talking over me. I thought.
No, that's my secret. That's my secret control, dude. I can mute you from here.
So. Anywhere you could mute me from.
I can mute you from anywhere. Yeah,
that's pretty awesome.
Damn.
Yeah, I know, right?
So when I want to go back a little bit, because I was trying to say something. Do you guys remember when Bashir met Data? Like back in like years ago, it was on
in Deep Space Nine.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you know, like he was asking similar questions. Do you breathe? And I thought that was really interesting. That like I never heard of that. Like, and similar conversation between him at like Allison Pill's character and Soji is like, oh yeah, like yeah, that just little details like that. Like her toes are like crooked and stuff. Like, why would you do that? Like,
artistry.
Yes,
there's artistry in this, in the small variations from perfect.
Yep, exactly. Right.
It's not this well, because like all the synths on Earth are like, they look like Data, they're bald, they're
uniform,
like,
yeah.
Obviously
yeah.
uniform, and they
Well, they weren't constructed to be people. She was created to be a person.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I love that. Really.
It is yeah, and we kind of she's kind of realizing that yes, she was something that was made, but she is still a person.
I'm getting real Battlestar She's Galactica unique. Vibes from
well, that, no, it definitely, you know, thing. It definitely is influenced by all of that, like modern conceptions of synthetic life.
For right, sure. Right.
Yeah. The skin job version of synthetic life.
Skin job. And then there's like a whole planet of them. Yeah. Like what you're saying, are we going to go see a bunch of Sojis or like just whenever we went to
I think that would undermine the central point of she's a unique individual. Yeah.
But even when we would watch Battlestar, I mean, you would have Trisha Helfer playing so many different versions of what was her? Was her she eight?
That's when you like start
she had, yeah. You know, everybody is a product of their experiences. And then, there was the victim of torture version of that Cylon, and then there was the Cylon who was always on Earth and was
the one that had the connection to Baltar was exactly different than, like yeah, yeah. They're all kind of like they all had an interesting storyline. Yeah, they were made the same, but they were like they had variations from. You're right, because you would live this long life, and your experiences definitely would impact you.
Well, the problem, I mean, if by playing out that logical string,
yeah,
all of the remaining synths that were on that planet would have the same experiences.
Yeah,
if they're all there, they would all be the same, basically, because they all have the same experience.
That's true. You're right. I mean, that's the logical conclusion: is that if there's no variations in experience, there's no variation in personhood.
Right.
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, we're definitely going to get to that planet, and we'll experience something there.
Yeah,
I guess this is not going to be a planet full of synths. It's going to be, I'm putting these feelers out into the universe to see how the experiment works or see how this works. I guess that's, I would land on that side of the equation. I'm hoping that it's more like that than there's a whole planet full of them. So. Yeah, but maybe.
I had notes about the scene where Soji was talking to what's her name? What's her character's name? I keep saying Allison Pill, but
Jurati.
Agnes Jurati.
Yeah, she. They're like sitting down, and Soji's going through some kind of like she's struggling with her like what part of her is real and what part of her is programmed. And it's like really interesting. It's like, I don't even know who I am. Am I supposed to like these things? And I love that kind of conversation in science fiction where it's like, if you are a synthetic life and like you've chosen things, you don't know you're not synthetic. You know that you have no idea. Like what is real and what is programmed. And I love that idea, and that got my brain just spinning about like,
well, and it's a reflection of being a human also, because
right,
you don't, you, I mean, you struggle with why you do things all the time as a human right. being. So
yeah, but here's, and this is the beauty of that. This question is that mm-hmm. we do not know the algorithm that's within us that yeah. answers the question, do I like broccoli or do I hate broccoli? Right?
Yeah.
There is right. there. We do not have, there is no scientific currently explanation for the algorithm that is in a human being that Ooh. Says, oh, I'm tasting oh. this broccoli yeah. right now.
Yeah.
And I hate it or I like it. And so similarly, it does not in any way undermine Soji's questions about whether she's real or not, regardless of whether or not that algorithm within her yeah. has been programmed. Because if she has a response to, do I like water mm-hmm. with lemon or do I like plain water? However, that has been AI designed in her based upon a positronic matrix versus a human being with an organic brain, there are algorithms at work that there might be more sort of explanation of and be able to maybe trace the decision tree. It'd be ultra complicated, right? Even in a synth. Mm-hmm. But for a human being, it's the same sort of problem.
Yeah. You're talking about the difference between, and I don't want to get, you know, religious about this at all, but like human beings don't know if we are constructed or we just exist. And synthetics, like someone made them purposefully. Someone designed you to be this way. And it's like, did God design me this way to like lemons, you know, in my water? Or am I just a evolved ape that has made his own decisions and can decide whether I like lemons in my water or not? And it's sort of like, it's the question of knowing your creator, knowing like what made you this way. And a synthetic life, that's the difference, really. And I love that through line, and I wish it was explored more, and maybe it will be when we get to this planet. Yeah. But to think about that kind of stuff is really interesting science fiction to me. Like
yeah,
that
yeah, it's the yeah, best.
It's the best. It's the best. And it just, I mean, I like that, like the old Trek used to explore that stuff all the time, and I'm liking where this is going, and I want to know more. So
well, yeah. I think that culminated. I think the peak for all of that is New Battlestar, right? Show was the central question of that entire show.
Right.
Well, and I think that we as the three of us have been drawn to stories like that because that's why we love, you know, Blade Runner 2049 so yeah. much, and yeah. why we love Battlestar so much, and why we love those kind of stories, because yeah. we, as just the three of us, struggle with, I think, ideas of purpose as much yeah. or more so than other people I know. I mean, it's a central focus of,
I think, how everybody we encounter does.
A lot of art. Is,
yeah, everybody does to some degree, yeah. right? And I think we were raised in a household for sure to yeah. ask all those questions. We all
continuously ask those questions.
We're drawn to that.
Yeah.
I mean, our household and like our family dynamic sort of was like always, you know, question your surroundings, ask questions of the world, and like be curious. And I feel like being curious is it can lead to dark things where it's like, what is the reason for this? What's my purpose? And is there a destiny for me? Am I just floating through space and time and I'm making decision and nothing matters?
To bring it back to this episode, there's that lovely exchange between Picard and Rios where we kind of learn what happened with Rios and how his captain, who he loved and idolized so much, did this terrible thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then Picard, you know, does what Picard does. He earnestly says to Rios, we are going to go out there and be curious and we're going to encounter these people and be open. We are going to do our values as Starfleet and as the Federation encountering this group of synths can only be better than, I mean, the Romulans are approaching us from secrecy and treachery where we're going to be open. We're going to be curious about them.
Right.
And Picard has faith in those values
values of Star Trek is the best of humanity, right?
Exactly.
Curiosity, openness.
I love that it started like dark and kind of broody and like Starfleet has gone and then this episode ends and hits to the point. That's like what we need to do. That's what we need to do to like be humans in this future, is to be curious and investigate and like figure stuff out. I think it's really interesting.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Patrick. This episode, more than any other, is a real return to central tenets of Star Trek.
Yep.
Yes.
Like really interesting sort of crystallized episode about all of those questions that Star Trek has been asking since the very first show.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
It's really good.
Any final thoughts before we do some trivia?
No, I think I've talked everything.
Definitely one of my favorite. Left. Definitely one of my favorite episodes of the.
Talking about it makes me want to watch it again. I think I might watch this episode again.
I'm definitely going to watch it again. Yeah.
It had some good layers, and the scenes are really good. And I feel it's written and directed and acted better than most of the episodes. I mean, the past two have been my favorite of the season so far. Mm-hmm, so
there's two more episodes left in season 1 of Picard.
And we're gonna keep doing them. It's freaking awesome, Andrew. What Star Trek trivia do you have for us?
The Star Trek trivia I have this week is Next Generation themed.
Yes.
One of the central ideas of this episode of Picard is that there's this ancient alien species that has built this star system.
Oh.
And we've encountered, you know, like I mentioned earlier, that throughout the history of Trek, there is all this evidence that there is at least one probably multiple very ancient species that have since died out. And Trek Next Generation addressed this in an episode directly in season 6, where the Enterprise go on this investigation and they eventually leads them to encountering, you know, a message from this ancient species.
Oh yeah.
What is the name of that episode?
Oh gosh. Okay, hold on. I feel like it's something along the lines of, hold on, I got this. I can picture it. I know what episode you're talking about. Crap. It's like Ancestors or something like that. It's like as soon as you say it, I'm gonna be pissed.
This is the biggest hole in my fandom.
Yeah,
is episode titles.
Oh wow. Okay.
Honestly, cool. I in all my years, for every show that I have ever watched and been a huge fan of, I have very rarely dug deep enough to learn and remember the title of the episode.
So Chris doesn't have a guess.
Give me some synonyms of Ancestors, like Founders or something like
Precursor.
That. Precursor. Yeah, it's like, oh god, what is it? It's something along
Progenitor.
Yeah. Okay, never mind. I don't have it. So okay.
The episode is called The Chase.
The Chase.
Chase.
Yeah.
Oh no, okay.
If you guys, I mean, I've watched line. that if you're going to rewatch some next gen episodes, rewatch episode 20 from season 6, The Chase. Well, it's a fun investigative episode.
Who are the species that show up? It's like Romulans and
Romulans, Cardassians, Klingons, and humans.
They all have like this crazy genetic marker to this race, this ancient race, and
that seeded a bunch of planets.
Yes, yeah. Yes, that's what the episode is about, and it's all like they're all connected, and like the Cardassians and the Romulans like don't want to believe it.
That's it. It's part of the explanation for there's the seeding of DNA, and it leads to explaining why so many races are humanoid. Like,
yes, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
So, I remember.
Well, it has that nice moment at the end where Picard's talking to the like Romulan commander, and the Romulan commander's like, maybe there is more about us that's the same than not.
I mean,
Star Trek always tries to go to as well. It's like, there's more things about us that are similar than not.
Yep.
I love the idea of an ancient, powerful race that like that's part of the stuff I love about The Expanse, is how it has like, you're going to like ancient alien temples, or like the Alien series, like they're going to this ancient alien like spaceship that's just left over, and like, what are the aliens? They could be like pets, or they could be like weird like bioweapons, something along those lines, that are just like left over from some ancient species. I love stuff like that. It gets my brain like cooking about like, who is that species? And that's the problem with the Prometheus series, is we don't want the explanation. That's the thing. we do not want to have it explained. So, okay, great. Thank you, Andrew, for your
absolutely good one. Very good one.
Very good one. If you'd like to help Andrew with his trivia, you should email him at kingofthenorth52@gmail.com. Email the podcast, brothersgeekpodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, brothers_geek @Twitter. Brothersgeek.com, Brothers Geek Podcast on Facebook, iTunes, Spotify. Go find us. Follow us on Instagram, Brothers Geek Do Stuff. What else?
That's it.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Boldly go.